Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, What Would the Great Economists Do? By Linda Yue, is a popular economics and policy book that uses the ideas of major thinkers from Adam Smith to Robert Solow to interpret present-day problems, rather than offering a conventional history of economic thought. The book is built around a practical question: how would influential economists respond to issues such as weak productivity, inequality, globalization, Brexit, Trumpism, trade conflict, and slow growth? Yue first situates each economist in their historical setting, then connects their theories to modern debates. The result is a clear, accessible synthesis of intellectual history and applied policy analysis. The book is aimed at readers who want to understand not only what economists argued, but why those arguments still matter when governments and markets face uncertainty. Its appeal lies in showing that older theories remain useful as interpretive tools, while also revealing their limits when transferred to a very different economic world. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, using classic economic thinkers as a lens for modern policy problems. The central structure of the book is comparative and applied. Yue pairs major economists with contemporary issues to show how older theories can illuminate current policy debates. This is not a simple summary of doctrines. Instead, the book asks what each thinker might advise when faced with modern conditions such as low wage growth, uneven globalization, financial instability, and political backlash against open markets. That method gives the book its distinctive value. Readers see that economic ideas are not fixed artifacts from the past, but frameworks that can still clarify present tensions. At the same time, Yue does not imply that historical thinkers would offer direct blueprints. The book is careful to preserve context, showing that an economist's ideas emerged from a specific era and set of constraints. That balance between relevance and historical specificity is what makes the book useful as both an introduction to economic thought and a guide to policy reasoning. Secondly, why Adam Smith still matters in debates over markets and state intervention. One of the book's most recognizable threads is its use of Adam Smith to think through the proper role of government in modern economies. Smith is commonly reduced to the idea of the invisible hand, but Yue uses him more broadly to explore whether states should steer industry, favor certain sectors, or attempt to rebalance an economy away from excessive dependence on services and finance. The question is especially relevant in discussions of industrial policy and national competitiveness. The book suggests that Smith would be skeptical of interventions that distort prices or protect inefficient sectors, because he believed markets generally allocate resources better than political planners do. At the same time, Yue does not turn Smith into a slogan. She uses him to highlight a real policy tension: governments often want to shape economic outcomes for strategic reasons, yet those choices may conflict with market efficiency. This makes the chapter on Smith a useful entry point into the larger book, because it shows how classical liberal thinking still frames debates about trade, production, and national economic balance. Thirdly, the book's treatment of growth, productivity, and the Solow question. A major contemporary concern in the book is the slowdown in productivity and the prospect of a low-growth future in advanced economies. Yue uses Robert Solow to frame this issue because Solow's work is foundational to understanding how capital, labor, and technology drive long-run growth. This is one of the book's most concrete policy applications, since stagnant productivity is not just an academic problem, but a practical obstacle to rising living standards, fiscal sustainability, and business investment. The Solow lens helps readers see why growth cannot be assumed, even in wealthy countries with advanced financial systems. It also encourages a more disciplined reading of economic performance. If productivity is weak, then simply relying on consumption, asset prices, or services expansion may not be enough. Yue's approach is valuable because it translates a technical growth framework into a diagnosis of current economic fragility. The result is less about predicting exact outcomes than about clarifying what kind of structural conditions make sustained prosperity possible. Fourthly, globalization, backlash, and the challenge of interpreting political economics. Another important dimension of the book is its discussion of globalization and the political reaction against it. Yue uses economists such as David Ricardo, Karl Marx, John Maynard Keynes, Milton Friedman, and others to explore why trade integration has produced both gains and grievances. The point is not merely to defend or criticize globalization, but to explain why it has become politically unstable in some countries. Readers are shown that trade can increase efficiency and consumer welfare while also creating adjustment costs, regional inequality, and perceived losses of control. That dual effect matters in debates about Brexit, protectionism, and nationalist economic politics. The book is especially effective when it emphasizes that economic theory alone cannot resolve these tensions, because distributional consequences and political legitimacy shape whether markets remain open. By placing globalization backlash in a historical and theoretical frame, Yue helps readers understand why technically efficient policies may still fail politically. This is one of the book's strongest contributions because it links economic reasoning to the realities of public consent and institutional trust. Lastly, an accessible bridge between economic history and practical decision-making. The book stands out because it is written for readers who want usable economic insight rather than a purely academic survey. Yue is both an economist and broadcaster. And that combination shapes the style of the book. Complex theories are explained in direct language, then tied to concrete policy dilemmas. This makes the book especially relevant for business leaders, policymakers, students, and general readers who want to understand economic debates without specialist training. Its practical value lies in helping readers compare different schools of thought rather than treating economics as a single doctrine. Smith, Keynes, Friedman, Solow, and others are presented as thinkers with different answers to different problems, which encourages analytical flexibility. The book also reminds readers that no economist provides a complete solution to every issue. That is an important intellectual lesson because it prevents simplistic borrowing from history. Instead, the reader learns how to use economic ideas as guides for judgment. In that sense, the book is less a manual of answers than a disciplined way of thinking about policy uncertainty. In conclusion, What Would the Great Economist Do? Is best suited to readers who want a clear, non-technical introduction to economic ideas and a practical way to think about current policy problems. Business readers will find it useful for understanding growth, globalization, and industrial change. Policymakers and students will benefit from its habit of linking theory to real-world trade-offs rather than treating economics as an abstract subject. General readers interested in the history of ideas will also appreciate how Yue makes major economists relevant without flattening their differences. What makes the book stand out in its category is its method. It does not simply explain what economists believed, and it does not merely comment on today's news. It uses intellectual history as a diagnostic tool for present uncertainty. That gives the book more range than a standard popular economics title, while keeping it more accessible than an academic survey. Its strength is the combination of clarity, context, and policy relevance, making it a useful bridge between economic thought and contemporary decision-making. If you would like to support Lindawi Yue, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.